for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, May the 27th, 2017. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on insomnia.
Bless you, Lord. Lord, we just come before your throne, and we just thank you, Lord, that you are our King, our God, our Lord, our Savior, our Deliverer, our Protector, our all in all. Lord, what we ever do without you. We just thank you for what you're going to do. Pray that you'll set every person that's at this camp free. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that each person will be able to rest, to come into your rest, come into your peace, live a contented life, be grateful and satisfied for all that we have. Lord, we just ask you to cover us with the blood of Jesus. We pray the eyes of our heart be enlightened. We pray that my words will be like goats, like well-driven nails, Lord, given by you, the shepherd. Father, we pray your ministering angels will be loosed in this place, whatever kind of holy angel we need. Lord, we just break and bind every word, curse, spell, hex, vex, charm, incantation, divination, assignments, attachments, voodoo, magic, black magic, sorcery, words of death, words of iniquity, curses, assignments, satanic rituals spoken over us, any witchcraft rituals, we break the power of them, send them back on the enemy seven times over, unbroken and in full force, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray for the salvation of those who are trying to send these curses, in Jesus' name. We pray for the fear of the Lord, the conviction of sin, the spirit of repentance. In the name of Jesus, we bless them with salvation. In Jesus' name, we ask you to cover us with the blood of Jesus. We pray for your anointing that breaks the yoke. In Jesus' name, bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. How many of you have gotten some freedom this weekend? Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. I tell you, deliverance is like peeling an onion. I don't believe any of you are here for just a quick fix. I believe every one of you are here to get free. And it's a process. And if we think you're here with the same old thing, this prayer team will tell you, hey, you need to go and repent. So we thank the Lord for deliverance. If it wouldn't be for deliverance, we wouldn't be able to walk in divine health. And it's not a one-shot deal, it's a lifestyle of repentance. And today I want to teach on a spirit of insomnia. You know, in spite of what the world would tell you that it's a disease, it's a sin problem. It's rooted in sin. And basically it comes in because we have not learned to enter God's rest. In fact, in Deuteronomy 28, one of the curses is you'll find no resting place for the sole of your foot, a trembling heart, failing eyes, and the spare soul. And I tell you, I've been under that curse. I've always been able to rest. That's never been a problem. But the other part, failing eyes, despair of soul, I thought, well, despair of soul doesn't fit me. But when I looked up the Hebrew definition, and I can't tell you exactly, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm under that one too. Praise the Lord for His Word, the truth that sets us free. But it comes in through the lack of peace. You know, Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. You know, don't let your heart be troubled. He gives us peace. He's given us a covenant of peace. But insomnia means inability to obtain sufficient sleep, especially a chronic difficulty in falling asleep or staying asleep. Sleeplessness. An estimated 50 to 70 million Americans suffer with insomnia and other sleep related disorders. And it keeps people from functioning normal. Besides that, People that don't get enough rest are grouchy, hard to live with, mean as a snake. So God wants us to sleep. The scripture says he gives to his beloved even in our sleep. It says the fear of the Lord leads to life so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. And so the fear of the Lord, if we don't fear the Lord, we're going to fear everything else. But the fear of the Lord leads to life. And the scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to turn away from evil. So when we truly fear the Lord, when we see sin, we're going to turn from it. And that's the fear of the Lord. There's a demonic fear that comes in through being afraid of your mother and father. And that's a demonic fear that causes you to run away from God. But the true fear of God causes you to turn away from evil. And the world treats people with insomnia with pills. And adults who take sleeping pills, even in small numbers, are more apt to, 4 times more likely to die an early death than people that don't take sleep medication. According to findings of the British Medical Journal, sleeping pills may also be likely responsible to a person that takes them to be diagnosed with cancer. Researchers looked at electronic medical records of nearly 35,000 patients, and fewer than half of them took FDA-approved drugs such as Restorol, Lunesta, Ambien, Sonata, and you know, there's others that I'm not naming. But the findings was that fewer than 18 sleeping medications per year were more apt to die an earlier death than people that didn't take them. Besides of all the side effects, if you hear about these specific drugs, if you ever watch commercials and you hear these things advertised, all the warnings that it tells you, brain tumors and you know there's one on restless leg syndrome that'll even cause compulsive gambling. Hello. Let's use our good sense, okay? He wants you to take a God pill, not be addicted to pills. And so God wants to give us his peace. I really believe that the Word of God bears this out, that the main root to why we can't sleep is, of course, sin. Guilty conscience, not having a clear conscience. But I believe a lot of it is rooted in not having a good earthly father. When you grow up feeling protected, you don't ever, you sleep peacefully knowing that your daddy is going to take care of everything. But most people don't have that kind of a daddy. And so a lot of our problems, when God tells a father, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old he won't depart from it, and he tells us, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but train them up in the way they should go. He should be the spiritual leader. He should be the protector. He should be training that child to walk in peace and walk in righteousness and to walk in repentance, because he's the kind of father that God wants us to dad to be in the Word of God. What's so sad is there are not many fathers like that today. But praise God, he's the greatest dad that anybody could ever have. And he wants to give us his glory and give us his peace. And the world tells you that insomnia is a disease, but it's not. It's just a symptom of a person's failure to enter God's rest and God's peace. A person who has a problem with sleeping is discontented with his life, dissatisfied. And, you know, First Timothy 6 says that godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. And so if our life is not contented, then that's a big sign of a spiritual problem, if we're not contented. And the Bible says that discontentment causes our Christian life to fail. It says godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. And contentment means, the dictionary definition means, satisfied with what one has, not wanting more or anything else. You know, I can remember a time when I would read that scripture and I think, well, I'm not contented. I used to go through a mall, for example, and I wanted everything I saw. I can tell you, I don't even want to go to a mall. And I can tell you, I can walk through a mall and not see one thing I'm even interested in. Especially these fat mirrors that make you look. You buy clothes, you go in these mirrors, they make you look like you're 10 foot wide. I tell you, they didn't have enough sense to at least have a skinny mirror for people that are a little plump. That's so depressing. You know what? You could be in a good mood and go try on something at a dress store, and it'll throw you into a state of depression. But to be satisfied means to be gratified mentally and emotionally satisfied with things as they are. It means to have peace of mind, mental and emotional satisfaction. And I'm going to give you some scriptures and then give you some reasons, and we're going to do some deliverance. But Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." That means stretch out your ear to listen. "Do not let them," that's the word of God, God's word, "depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For their life to your body and health to your whole body." Their life to those who find them and health to your whole body. "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life." Your heart is your spiritual garden, and what's down there is going to come out your mouth, or it's going to come up into your thought life. So the way you clean up that garden is to find out, why am I saying this word that I'm saying? It's a seed that's been planted. Why am I thinking these thoughts? Because out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Out of the mouth proceeds evil words. And from the heart proceeds evil words. And so God tells me to watch over this garden, my heart, watch what's been planted in my life. And the word of God is seed, words are seed. So when you sit and watch, if you're always thinking thoughts of profanity and cursing and vileness and perversion, what have you been watching on TV? What kind of movies have you been watching? Witchcraft. What you take into your spiritual garden is what's going to be produced. If you plant corn in a garden, you're going to get corn. You plant perversion, you're going to get perversion. You plant fear, and you're going to have fear. I can't tell you how many people I've ministered to in the last 34 years since I've been in deliverance that would have fear, and it would come in through a scary movie. And don't deceive yourself. If you're always trying to nail down and cover all your bases, you're in fear. I realized the other day when I was fretting about my secretary who's been sick, "Lord, what am I going to do? What if she does this?" I thought, you're in fear. And I've never seen myself as a fearful person. But I said, "Well, Lord, you show me when I get into stress. You're stressing over this. Show me when I get into stress. And I'll repent. I just don't know when I'm doing it." So if you need to pray that prayer, we don't know when we do these things. So when I get into fear, "Lord, why am I into fear?" Find out what seed was planted back there. So God tells me to watch over my spiritual garden, which is my heart, because out from my heart flow the issues of life. Isaiah 26 says, "God will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon Him, because you're trusting in Him." And Jesus said, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you, but I give peace to you." Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, what does a shepherd do? He guards the sheep, right? He says in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and they obey me, and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger." So what I want to ask you, are you his sheep? Are you hearing his voice? Are you hearing the voices of another? It says, when it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger," that word stranger means the voice of another. Any voice that doesn't line up with the word of God is the voice of a stranger. So God will never tell you anything that contradicts his word. I've heard people say, "Well, God told me to do this," when it was a violation of the word of God. I'm saying, God didn't tell you that. God doesn't tell you not to submit to authority. God never tells you to go divorce your wife to marry somebody else. He never tells you to shack up. Well, God told me that this, you know, he wants me to have this woman in my life or this man in my life. God didn't tell you that. The devil tells you that. God tells you to trust him. The devil tells you, you better get afraid. You better go check out everything. You better be afraid. God says, if your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. That gives me tremendous peace in this world I'm living in. I don't have to worry, and neither do you, about ISIS. I never have to worry about a terrorist bomb. I don't have to worry about those things because the angel of the Lord guards and rescues all those who reverence the Lord. So Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd watches over me. He leads me into green pastures, which is a place of provision. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me by peaceful waters. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he watches over me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, thus I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's Psalms 91. If you picture Psalms 91 like a big umbrella, as long as you're under that big old umbrella of Psalms 91, you're in his refuge. Nobody can touch you. Most of us, if you grew up in a dysfunctional family, most of us grew up outside of God's refuge, out where the fiery darts fly. So if that was the case, Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. It's more real than this building. So run into the name of Jesus. Forgive your forefathers and run into the name of Jesus. And we're to seek peace. Psalms, it's not an option. Seeking it means I'm going to search after it. If I don't have it, I've got a system problem and I need to find out why. It says in Psalms 34:14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Turning back to folly causes me to lose my peace. The scripture says, the folly of a fool is his discipline. For example, if my folly is overeating, I'm going to gain weight. If my folly is charging up credit cards, I'm going to have to pay the bill. If my folly is sexual sin, then I can have AIDS like my son had. That was his folly. I'm trying to think of the scripture here. Lord, bring it to my mind. Bring to my remembrance everything you've said, Lord. Praise your Lord. Praise your name. It says, proceed in the way, forsake your folly and live, and proceed in the way of understanding. So, when I get deliverance, for example, and Nikki talked about this earlier, if I'm just coming for a quick fix and I don't intend to walk in repentance, I don't intend to seek God for myself, the deliverance isn't going to last. And so when I'm turning back to folly, I'll lose my peace. And so when you go home, don't turn back to folly because you will lose your peace. Psalms 85 verse 8 says, I will hear what the Lord God will say to me, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones, but let them not turn back to folly. And we love God's law, and I want to ask you a question. Do you love God's word? Do you love his law? It says if you love his law in Psalms 119 verse 165, those who love his law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. And so we need to continue to be aligning our life with the Word of God, and that's deliverance. That's a part of the sanctification process. Deliverance is like peeling an onion. And I see this time after time, those of you who keep coming, you're coming for different reasons, for other layers to be taken off. And if you think you don't need deliverance, let me tell you, you really need it if you think you don't need it. And that's just pride, because it's a part of the sanctification process. And so another thing is living with people who hate peace can be an obstacle to us walking in peace. You know, there's situations where some of you live in, there's no peace. Living with certain people, there's no peace. And so God has called us to live in peace. And if you're living in a situation where your husband's dealing drugs, or your wife's dealing drugs, or they're molesting your children, you know, God tells us in 1 Corinthians that a wife can leave her husband, but she's not to remarry. She's to stay single because he's called us to live in peace. And I want to tell you, I hate divorce. I'm against divorce, so don't think I'm approving of it, okay? But I'm saying God don't want you to live with a bunch of snakes. If there was a big old hog on your couch, you'd get it off. Tell it to take a hike. Or you wouldn't want to live with a rattlesnake. You don't want your kids to be contaminated by the evil influence of that person. Psalms 120 verse 6 says, "For too long has my soul been dwelling with those who hate peace." And you know what? Nobody can take away your peace unless you let them. I remember one lady told me her husband told her, "You've ruined my life." Can I tell you, nobody can ruin your life but you. So if it's you and Jesus, the narrow way is single file. You can't take people with you. You've got to walk with God. And so being on the path of wisdom is the path of peace. I remember when my husband left me for the second or third time when my son was dying of AIDS. My son died of AIDS, and my neighbor said, "Jerry, you have so many problems." And I was the happiest person in the world. I thought, what in the world's wrong with me? Maybe I'm just deceived. And so I started praying, "Lord, am I deceived? Is this lady right? Am I missing something?" So I went to Maine, and I was reading the Bible to my little granddaughters, and I read this scripture in Proverbs 3:17. All her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are paths of peace. And happier are all those who hold them fast. And I thought, God, you're showing me that if I walk in wisdom, all the paths of wisdom are paths of peace. And God wants us to have peace. When the government's on our shoulders, when we've little children, we have to have the responsibility of the home, be thrown into a role that little children never should be put in. When we're thrust into a role of having to be the mama, the daddy, the caretaker, the babysitter, this, that, and never be taking care of ourselves, the government's put on our shoulders, and we talked about that last night, that we're to transfer the government that's been placed on our shoulders, the burdens, to put it on Jesus' shoulders, because the government is on his shoulders. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." He is the Prince of Peace. And when he's ruling our life, we can have peace. When a mind is not stayed upon him, he assures us of peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God, in the Lord God, we have an everlasting peace." And wickedness in my life, in the life of my forefathers, if it comes down the bloodline, takes away my peace. Isaiah 48:22 says, "There's no peace for the wicked, says the Lord." And in Christ, we have a covenant of peace. Isaiah 54:10 says, For the mountains may be removed and the hills may be shaken, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Walking in an upright way assures me and guarantees me that I'll have peace. Psalms 57 verse 2 says, "He enters into peace. They rest in their bed, each one who has walked in an upright way." He gives us rest. When I'm troubled and fearful in my heart, then that guarantees that I lose my peace. And, you know, you cannot get God's peace by arm of the flesh. You cannot get him by taking pills or drinking alcohol or taking drugs. You can't get God's peace. It's something that he gives us when we're walking in obedience to him. It's a fruit of obedience. John 14:27 says, peace, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you, give I to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so God tells me that when I'm fearful, I need to let it go, because behind fear is idolatry. And so I just need to let it go. And I always tell people this, the principle of Abraham taking Isaac up the mountain and letting it go has been a principle that God has used to change my life. You can live free of fear. You can live free of hurt, free of depression, free of anger, by just letting it go. Just take it up the mountain like Abraham took up Isaac. Lord, you hear what the devil is trying to tell me? He's going to tell me I'm going to be killed. Well, Lord, if that glorifies you the most, so be it. For this is the confidence, God says, that you can have toward me. If you ask anything according to my will, you hear me. I hear you. And if I hear you, you already have what I ask for, what you ask for. And so it's God's will that he be glorified. And if you're living for God's glory, that gives you tremendous peace. It works with anything that troubles you. Just let it go. That's the perfect love that casts out fear. That's giving up your life that you might find it. And because Jesus overcame the world, we can have peace. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. And because he's overcome the world, we're overcomers in Christ Jesus. We all have things to overcome. We all have issues that we need to overcome. If nothing else, just our self-righteousness we need to overcome. You know, if we think we don't have any issues, God says if you say you don't have any sin, you're a liar and the truth's not even in you. And so when we lack the fear of God by turning aside the filthy cursing, and when I say cursing, it's not just talking about taking God's name in vain or saying foul bathroom words, but it also has to do with speaking negative words, any word that doesn't line up with the Word of God. I remember one day I told a girl, a lady, I said, you know, you're really under the curse in Deuteronomy of no rest. And she said, angrily, she said, no, I'm cursed because I have to be married. I'm cursed because I have to work. I'm cursed because of this. And I said, oh, dear God, you know what? She settled her destiny by the words she spoke. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I'm talking about speaking curses. And this is what it says in Romans 3:12-17. All of them have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There's not even one. Their throat is an open grave. Their tongues keep deceiving. The poison of asp is under their tongue. You know, in Matthew 12, Jesus said, you brood of vipers, how can you, speaking evil, speak what's good? And I can tell you the girl that said that has a religious spirit. And so that's what Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. The poison of asp is under your tongue. Religious people deal with the outward, caring what people think, and they don't deal with the heart issues. Romans 3:14 says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their path. Would you say that that would kind of take away your peace? And the path of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes, because if they feared God, they wouldn't speak those kind of words. There's no fear of God before their eyes. This thing jokes sometimes, and I haven't figured out how to stop it from doing that. And when we do evil, it brings tribulation and distress, according to Romans 2:9. It says, there'll be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
And when I do good, it guarantees me glory, honor, and God's peace. Romans 2:10 says, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. When I hold unforgiveness, I lose my peace. I'm tormented. It's like the person that I'm holding unforgiveness toward is just hanging around my neck. And I have to release those people through forgiveness. And we've talked about getting turned over to the tormentors when we don't forgive. Torment takes away your peace, kind of, slightly. You know, sometimes people can't sleep because they just are mad. They're holding unforgiveness in their heart. And God tells us if we let the sun go down on our anger, we've given a foothold to the enemy. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's peace, joy, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. Peace is something that has to be pursued. Romans 14:19 says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. God wants us to speak the truth in love, but he doesn't want us to compromise. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. They're people that will speak the truth in love, and a person that they're speaking to might have a fit and fall in it and foam at the mouth. But that's God's problem, because he tells us to speak the truth in love. But being a peacekeeper, I'll do anything, just don't get mad at me. I'll tell you anything you want to hear. I'll lie to you. I'll be a people pleaser, and God's not pleased with that. He'd rather us say it like it is, and when we do, sometimes that's not a way to win friends and influence people. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification, which is holiness. Without holiness, no man's going to see God. And so there's people that, you know, you try to pursue peace with. There's people that I try to make peace with, and it's been to no avail, but you have to do it as much as you can to try to be at peace with every person, regardless if they forgive you or not. I know my husband that died, he would get mad at me, and he'd stay mad at me for months. And one day the Lord said, "You forgive him, you walk in love, and from now on the ball's in his court. Don't just you do what's right, and you get it right. And if he doesn't forgive you, then that's his problem." And I can tell you, he's dead today, and that's one of the reasons. When you don't want to walk in forgiveness, 1 Peter 3:11 says, "He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it." Unbelief is another thing that takes away our hope and our joy and our peace. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, "Love, joy, peace." The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And so the fruit of the Spirit is the character and nature of Jesus. And I have it when I let go of my life. I deny myself, give up my life that I might find it. Then the character and nature of Jesus comes through. And when I'm walking after my flesh, there's some other things in Galatians 5:19 that comes through. But it's like Jesus wants to walk around in my body and act like who he is. And so peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's also part of the armor of God, the whole armor of God, where it says, put on the helmet of salvation and take up the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so when you lose your peace, you have a system problem and your feet are unshod. So that's why you need to say, okay, God, where did I miss it? What are you trying to teach me? And then repent of your sin. Ephesians 6:5 says, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Anxiety, the scripture says, anxiety in your heart will anxiety will weigh down your heart, and that can be a cause of heart problems, high blood pressure. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And we're to dwell on pure thoughts. Philippians 4, 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, beloved, think on these things. And so it's hard to think on these things if we're watching something we shouldn't be watching or listening to something we shouldn't listen to. And we have to choose who we're going to let rule our life. Either the devil rules us or God rules us. You know, there's two. Satan is the god of this world. And, of course, we know Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. So if we're not worshiping him, we're worshiping the devil, whether we call ourselves a devil worshiper or not. So we choose who rules us. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. And I think the old Phillips version says, let the peace of God umpire in your life. Let it be the umpire. Making peace, when I make peace with people, I'm sowing seeds of peace. James 3:18 says, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Having a knowledge of God increases power and multiplies peace. Now, there's a knowledge that is just, like Nikki was saying, a bunch of information can get you puffed up. But the knowledge of God does not puff you up. The Bible says in Proverbs, I believe it's 24, through knowledge increases power with God. It's knowledge of God. It's not the kind of knowledge that puffs you up. The knowledge that puffs you up is stuff you read in a book or information you gather that gets you puffed up because you think you're just a little smarter than somebody else. 2 Peter 1, 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Being diligent to be repented of and confessed of. It says in 2 Peter 3:14, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in peace, spotless and blameless. And you cannot be stopped spotless and blameless without 1 John 1:9, confess your sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. My grandson-in-law that was killed in December when his jet fighter jet went down in south of Japan. He had a checklist when he flew the F-18 Hornet. There was a checklist that he had to check, but one of the things on his checklist was 1 John 1:9. If I confess my sin, God is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. You know, that's something that I started to do because Jake didn't know when he got on that plane he wasn't going to get off. My hairdresser of about 10 years, her husband, and she was, as far as we know, she was in good health, found her dead on her bathroom floor. She didn't know she was going to die that day. And so we need to make sure before we go to bed at night that we're confessed up and prayed up because we don't know where we're going to end up tomorrow. Right. I want to make sure that when I face God that I'm not loaded down with a bunch of garbage. And we can have peace even when God removes peace from this earth. There's going to be a time, the Bible says in Revelation, that God's going to remove peace from this earth. You and I can have peace as God's saints regardless of what goes on in this world. Revelation 6:4 says, and another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on the horse, sat on it, it was granted to take away peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another and with a great sword, and a great sword was given to him. So when God removes peace from the earth, we can still have it because he's the Prince of Peace and we're in a covenant of peace. There's another scripture in Ezekiel 34, but it says that God will make a covenant of peace with us. It says that in other places that we have a covenant of peace that cannot be shaken. We can shake the peace, but God will not take his peace from us. We take it by our sin and by our actions. But in Ezekiel 34, it says that he will be able to sleep in the wilderness and have peace. And now that's a place of unpredictableness. That when we're in God's covenant of peace, we can sleep with no borders, with no walls, with no windows, with no bars, right out in the woods, and we'll be safe. That's a tremendous promise. And so other things that take away our peace is not believing God will keep us safe. And that comes in, if your mother and daddy didn't keep you safe, you don't think God's going to keep you safe either. I remember taking a girl to my daddy's house. Who grew up in nothing but dysfunction and trauma. And she said, in my daddy's, we went home for Father's Day, and I took her with me because we were in Beaumont. So we left the ministry in Beaumont and went to my daddy's house for Father's Day. And she said, I've never felt such peace in your daddy's house. And that's basically how I grew up, feeling always safe. And now if your daddy and mother are living in fear, if they're afraid somebody's going to get them, then that opens you up to fear. It also opens you up to a lie that if your mother and daddy are afraid, then God must be afraid too. Because how we see our mothers and fathers is how we see God unconsciously till we get delivered. Psalms 4:8 says, I will both lay down and sleep in peace, for thou, Lord, will make me dwell in safety. I will, in Psalms 121, verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, nor, and he that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel, and Israel is, we are the Israel of God, believers. When you read the word Israel, they're the physical Israel, but we're the spiritual Israel. It says that keep us Israel and shall never slumber nor sleep. So he's always awake to watch over you. He will keep you as the apple of his eye. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade on thy right hand. The sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going in and coming out from this day forward, even forevermore. It is a vain thing to rise up early, to retire late, and to eat the bread of painful labors. For he gives to his beloved, even in his sleep. Another thing, failure to make a place for him in my spiritual temple. Now this is a Psalm of David, and David said in Psalms 132, I'll not give sleep to my eyes nor slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord and a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. And that was the physical temple that David felt that he was to build. But we have a spiritual temple. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so God wants us to make a place for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not, the scripture says in Acts 5:32, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Now you don't obey to be saved, but you obey because you are saved. And many people that are seeking deliverance have never even been born again. And we try to be conscious of that when people come forward. There are times when God shows us that a person's not been born again, and we lead them in repentance. Rebellion to God, the lack of parental discipline, my own rebellion keeps me from peace. Proverbs 3:19 says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and that his clouds dropped down dew. My son, let not them, the word of God in Proverbs 3:21, depart from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they, sound wisdom and discretion, shall be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then thou shalt walk thy way in that way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yea, though shall you lie down and sleep, and your sleep will be sweet. And so when I enter the path of wickedness, I lose my peace. There's some people that can't sleep until they do mischief. Proverbs 4:14 says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass by it, and turn away from it, and pass away. For they, the wicked, they don't sleep. They sleep not, except after they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away from them unless they cause someone to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And so the Bible says evil companions corrupt good morals. Sometimes we want to be accepted so much that we run after the wrong friends. And if we're going to follow God, we have to be people that will stand strong. If you can't pull people up spiritually, you shouldn't hang with anybody that's going to pull you down to the gutter. Failure to repent or being a stumbling block or being responsible for someone's sin causes us to lose our peace. And it tells us in Proverbs 6, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble yourself and make sure thy friend. Give sleep not to thy eyes nor to thy slumber to thy eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. And not having the fear of God. The fear of God leads to life so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil, it says in Proverbs 19:23. And trying to build one's own kingdom, trying to get rich, selfish ambition. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, people who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's rest, sleep. There is another serious problem I've seen under the sun, Ecclesiastes 5:13. Hoarding riches harms the hoarder, the saver. Money is put into risky investments and turns sour, and everything is lost. In the end, there is nothing left to pass on to one's children. We all come to an end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. We can't take our riches with us. And this, too, is a very serious problem. People leave the world no better off than when they came. All their hard work is for nothing, like striving or working after the wind. And so there's a little saying that I'm sure you've heard that says, one life will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. And the last part of that is, and when I'm dying, how glad I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. And that's the way we should live our lives, because I've shared this before. If you live 10 years, you only live 3,650 days. If you live 20 years, that's just a little over 7,000 days. Time's running out. We need to live our life. The scripture says, teach me to number my days that I might present to you a heart of wisdom. Let's not waste our life on worthless pursuits. Ecclesiastes 5:17 says of these people that are wasting their life for nothing, toiling for nothing, It says throughout their lives they eat in great darkness, sickness, and anger. Nebuchadnezzar was agitated and angry. It says in Daniel 2:1, now the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he had dreams and his spirit was troubled, which means agitated, and his sleep left him. So when you're agitated, you can't sleep. When you're fearful, you can't sleep. And so here's some things that hinder our sleep: is not having a clear conscience, being feeling guilty. That would make you afraid to go to sleep if you had any thoughts of eternity. Not having a clear conscience, scary movies, scary books, looking at pornography, novels and books that open you up to witchcraft and the occult can take away your peace. You're planting seeds of fear in your spiritual garden, plus seeds of witchcraft, plus seeds of Antichrist, plus seeds of anger and bitterness, all the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. Under covenants of death that your forefathers made, blood covenants, covenants of death, would open you up to fear. Generational iniquities of the forefathers, which means the sins. It means that you're born with a lot of stuff that's come from your forefathers. So when you're seeking deliverance, repent of your own sin, but also deal with generational things coming down the generations. If there's perversion in your life, and there was perversion in your daddy's life, or there was alcohol in your daddy's life, and there's alcohol in your life, you know that there's stuff coming down the bloodline. Because my whole family had eye problems, I know that that was a generational curse. I mean, all my mother's sisters, my grandparents, my mother, my father, all of them died with eye problems. And they all trusted the doctors. And so that tells me that I need to trust God, right? Because that don't work. Generational iniquities of forefathers not being nurtured and protected as children opens me up to fear. Being sexually abused. You know, I can't remember one time in my whole life growing up that I was ever in fear because I had a daddy that took care of me. And I'm not telling you that to say, ha-ha, I had a good daddy, even though he wasn't perfect. But to forgive your father that you never had a day of peace growing up. You were trained up to live in dysfunction, and you were trained up to not have any peace. I remember telling a girl that had come out of Satanism, I ministered deliverance to her one day, and I said, now do you feel some peace? She said, what's that? She never knew what peace was. And so you need to find out what peace is, and then get God's peace in your life. And it's going to take a lot of deliverance in all of our lives, a lot of sanctification, a lot of deliverance, a lot of peeling the onion out of our life. And that's how the Lord showed me about deliverance, is like peeling, because she was complaining one day, why am I getting free quicker? And so we said, well, let's ask the Lord. And the Lord said, deliverance is like peeling an onion. You can deal with a layer and there's more. And that's a part of the sanctification process. You know, we go through trials according to Romans 8:28. Says, everything works together for good to those that love the Lord. Well, it doesn't work for good if you don't let that what you're going through conform you into the image of Christ. It goes on to say, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ. And Nikki was teaching about the image of Christ. The more deliverance you have, the more repentance, the more you align your life with the Word, the more sanctification, and the more of the image that's being formed in you will be manifested in your life. Another thing that takes away your peace is being sexually abused as a child. I remember the girl that came out of Satanism. For probably the first year, I prayed her to sleep every night because, and now she sleeps on her own. But I had to pray her to sleep. This is back when I didn't have anything else to do, right? I would spend about 10 hours a day with her. And I'm thankful because God used that to teach me how to help people that were ritually abused. Now it doesn't take all that time, but because I had no knowledge of the occult, I didn't even know what they did. And so it was a training thing for me. But because she would be raped at night, or the rituals would always be at night, nighttime was the time I'm going to get hurt, and she couldn't sleep.
So being sexually abused, I know another girl that because her daddy was an alcoholic and he molested all the kids in the family, and she was in the family of an alcoholic, there's always a rescuer, and she was the one that would vow that she was going to stay awake so she could protect her brother and her sister. And I can tell you the person sleeps about 3 hours every night because, see, I'm still, she's not had any deliverance. She doesn't know that that's the reason that she's the watchdog, is because she couldn't rest at night. And so, and she's not to the place where she received deliverance or even received the truth. God says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Praise God for the truth. Praise God for deliverance. If you were put through satanic rituals, you have a hard time sleeping. Being born under the wrong refuge, and I've said before, there's God's refuge is like a picture of a big umbrella. When you're under that, you're safe. You're outside that, you're in Satan's realm. So being born under the wrong refuge. If your mother and daddy were not walking under the lordship of Jesus, you were born under the wrong refuge. If you grew up having to be the protector, like this girl I was telling you about, she has a problem resting. Bad things happen when you go to sleep at night. And here's a kind of a checklist. 1 John 1:9, before you go to bed at night, make sure your sins are confessed. Make sure you've repented. Deal with your issues, your anger, your fear. Don't let the sun go down on your anger because you're going to give a foothold to the devil. Anger, fear, deal with your hurt, your unforgiveness, your worry, let it go. Forgive your parents for their poor stewardship of you. And this is not blaming your parents because they had parents that were dysfunctional too. But it means to take accountability for your wrong response to your mother and father, for you letting the sun go down on your anger, to take accountability for your sin in the way you responded to them, not honoring them. Let go of your lies. Don't expect to drink caffeine all day and take diet pills like I used to do and think you're going to sleep at night. And there's people that I've said, in fact, I know people that said, well, I can drink a cup of coffee and I can go right to sleep. Well, let me tell you something. You don't get the good, healthy sleep because it affects your adrenal glands. And I mean, if you don't have that deep sleep, and it could be that your adrenal glands are already exhausted. And be content. You know, sometimes people can't sleep because they fear they won't go to sleep. So be prepared to stay awake all night if that's what God wants you to do. And read the Bible, because the devil is keeping you awake and he don't want you reading the Bible, believe me. When my husband left me, I was so traumatized that I would be asleep, but I was really awake. And the devil would be tormenting me. And one night I said, okay, devil, you're going to wake me up again. I'm going to put my Bible right here on my nightstand. And if you wake me up, I'm going to hit you right between the eyes with the Bible. One time he woke me up, I got the Bible, started reading it. Never again did he keep me awake. Never. So if you can't sleep, make it profitable. Don't waste that time. Don't sit there and stew and moan and groan. Say, hey, I'm going to read the Word. And there's some foods that can help you sleep is almonds and milk and bananas and honey and flaxseed, potatoes, whole wheat bread, turkey and oatmeal are foods that help you sleep. Tank up on that before you go to sleep. Or you could have a mineral deficiency. You know, people that have a mineral deficiency have a hard time sleeping. You can get this stuff in the health food store, which is magnesium, which is called Natural Calm. And you can take that. I take a teaspoon before I go to bed, not to sleep, but I just take it because it's healthy. And I don't take it during the day because it puts me to sleep. And I don't want to go to sleep during the day. So anyway, I've never had a problem sleeping, maybe 5 times in my whole life.
And it was always when I started worrying or worried about finances or I'm not worried about paying my bills. And I'd get up and get in God's presence and start praying and let it go, and immediately it would leave the minute I would get in God's presence. Get regular good exercise and play the Word of God while you sleep. You say, well, my husband don't want to listen to it. I have a friend, and she's been here to Lake Hamilton. She wants to listen to the Word so much that she sleeps. Her husband don't want to hear it, but she sleeps with an earphone in her ear so she can hear the Word of God. And I've done that for 27 years. I've listened to the Word of God as loud as I'm talking, and I can tell you that's been one of the greatest benefits of my life. You say, well, how in the world do you sleep with all that racket? Let me tell you something. The Word of God puts you to sleep. Thank you, Lord. Okay, stand up if you will. Praise you, Lord. Lord, search my heart. Would you please, Lord, show me why I'm not being able to sleep? Show me why I don't have your peace. I want your peace, Lord. I don't want to be taking medication. Thank you that you said I'll know the truth and the truth will set me free. Thank you, Lord, that you said if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraids not. So, Lord, I ask you now to show me what is keeping me awake at night. Is my conscience clear? Are there scary things I've looked at or occult things I've watched or read? God, what has taken away my peace? Is it fear? What do I fear? Do I have the fear of the Lord? Lord, I ask you to show each person in Jesus' name. And then just repent of whatever the Lord shows you and then sit down. If your mother and father couldn't sleep, probably it's come down generationally. Father, just forgive my mother and father. Pray with me. For that I grew up in a home where there was no peace. Dysfunctional home. I forgive my mother and father for abandonment, emotional abandonment, not protecting me. I forgive them that I was not born under your refuge because they were not in your refuge. Lord, I want to come under your refuge in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for not having the fear of the Lord that leads to life, so that I might sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Father, forgive me for not giving attention to your words and inclining my ear to your saying. Forgive me for not keeping your word in my sight and in the midst of my heart. God, forgive me for not watching over my heart with all diligence. Forgive me for letting weeds and thorns and thistles grow in my garden. Forgive me for not speaking the Word of God over my spiritual garden in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not keeping my eyes stayed on you. Thank you that you're my shepherd. You lead me to green pastures. You provide for me. Forgive me for not believing that you, my shepherd, are going to take care of me. God, forgive me for listening to the voice of a stranger. God, forgive me for not departing from evil and doing good. I do that now. Forgive me for turning back to folly. Forgive me for not, Lord, I choose to forsake my folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. Lord, my folly has disciplined me. Forgive me for not loving your law, which would cause me to have great peace and nothing to cause me to stumble. Forgive me for not reading your word. Forgive me for not memorizing your word, meditating on your word. Forgive me for letting other people upset my peace. Forgive me for thinking other people are ruining my life. Forgive me for ruining my own life. Forgive me for not letting my trials conform me more into your image. Forgive me for not walking the way of wisdom so I could have pleasant paths and peaceful paths. Lord, I forgive my parents. Forgive me that the government's been on my shoulders. Lord, I transfer the government that's on my shoulders. Just reach up and put it on your shoulders, Lord, where it belongs. In Jesus' name. Forgive me for not obeying your word and not meditating on your word day and night. You said if I do that, Lord, that everything I do will be successful and prosperous if I obey your word and I meditate on your word day and night. Forgive me for wickedness. I forgive my forefathers for being wicked, which would cause me to have no peace. I forgive my forefathers for their dysfunction and for their perversion and for their anger and for their drug addictions and for their alcoholism. And I break the covenants of death, the covenants to Satan that they've made, covenants to Freemasonry and lodges and sororities and fraternities. I break it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I have a covenant of peace with you in Jesus' name, that you will not remove, Lord, you will not take away or remove your covenant of peace. Forgive me for removing myself from your covenant of peace through my sin and through actions that displease you. Forgive me for not walking in an upright manner, Lord. Forgive me for being troubled and fearful, which has caused me to lose my peace. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that you've overcome the world, that I have peace in you. Thank you that I can sleep in the wilderness, in a place of unpredictableness, and be safe because I'm in a covenant of peace. I forgive my mother and father and brothers and sisters for everything that happened to me at night when it was scary at night. I forgive my parents for fighting for child molestation. I forgive them, Lord. Forgive me for vowing I'll stay awake and I'll take care of the whole family. I'll protect everybody. Forgive me for vowing I'll stay awake because if I go to sleep, somebody might hurt me. I break those vows. I forgive my dad and mother for living in fear. Forgive me for filthy cursing and speaking negative words against you, Lord, and against myself. I break the power of all my negative words, cursing myself, cursing others. Lord, forgive me that my throat's been an open grave. Forgive me for deceiving others. Forgive me that the poison of asp has been under my lips. Forgive me that my mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. My feet have been swift to shed blood. Let me say this. If you have feet problems, look up all the scriptures on your feet and find out what kind of paths you've walked down. Same with leg problems. Look up all the scriptures on path walk. A few years ago, when I would get out of my chair, I would walk like Chester on Gunsmoke. Like this, or I think that's the way he walked, I don't remember, but anyway, I thought it was just because of my age, and then I got to work for about 2 weeks after that, I couldn't hardly walk, and I repented over all the scriptures on walk, legs, path, pride, walking in pride, and I repented all day long, and I was totally healed at the end of the day. Because the Bible says He sent His word to heal you. Yeah. And that's where I've received most of my healing in Jesus' name, is through aligning my life with the word. Hallelujah. And there's so many more ways I need to align my life with the word. So I'm still a work in progress, just like you are. Destruction and misery have been in my path, Lord. I've not known the path of peace. Lord, there's been no fear of God before my eyes. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for doing evil, which would bring tribulation and distress, would cause me to be stolen from. Forgive me for not doing good so that I could have honor and peace. Lord, I choose by an act of my will to forgive every person that I'm holding unforgiveness toward in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for not pursuing peace, running after it. Lord, forgive me for not making relationships right with people. Forgive me for not thinking on things that are pure, lovely, honorable, and of good report. Forgive me for not thinking on things that are worthy to think on. Forgive me for dwelling on lewd, perverse thoughts.
Lord, forgive me, for I choose to give up my life, deny myself, take up my cross, so that the fruit of your Spirit can be produced in my life, which is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. And Lord, forgive me for allowing my feet to be not shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, I ask you to remind me that when I lose my peace, I've got a system problem, that you're trying to show me sin in my life or something I need to repent of. Forgive me for anxiety of the heart, being anxious for everything. Forgive me that I haven't by prayer and supplication made my request be known to you, so the peace of God, which surpasseth all knowledge, can guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Forgive me for letting fear rule me. Forgive me for not letting your peace rule in my heart. Umpire my heart. Forgive me for not sowing seeds of peace by making right relationships with people. And I forgive the people that don't want to make a right relationship. Lord, thank you that I want to do it, I'm going to do what's right regardless. Forgive me, Lord, for not having knowledge of you that increases power. Forgive me for a false knowledge, the kind of knowledge Nikki was talking about, just gathered a bunch of information that causes me to be puffed up. Lord, forgive me for not having the knowledge of you, which causes me to increase power. A knowledge of you is not the kind of knowledge that puffs me up. It's the kind of knowledge that makes me humble. Forgive me for not being diligent to repent and stay confessed up. Forgive me for not walking a lifestyle of repentance. Forgive me for not living a spotless and blameless life. And let me tell you something. Nobody gets to the place that they're spotless and blameless, but you have to keep confessing your sin. I tell people, the more you repent, the happier you'll be. The more you repent, the more delivered you'll be. The more you repent, the healthier you will be. The stronger you will be, even in old age. Instead of getting senile, God will keep renewing your mind and making you wise, and you'll go from glory to glory and strength to strength. And Lord, thank you that I'll have peace even when you remove it from this earth. Forgive me for not believing that you'll keep me safe, because my dad and mom didn't keep me safe. I forgive my parents. I'm not blaming them, Lord, but I'm taking accountability for letting the sun go down on my anger and responding to my parents in an incorrect way. The correct way is to turn from sin, forgive my parents by sundown. Lord, I didn't know to do that. Forgive me for not lifting my eyes to you, because my help comes from you. Forgive me for looking to myself to help me. And Lord, I don't know how to help myself, and so that makes me even more fearful. Lord, I want to make a place for you in my spiritual temple. Forgive me for rebellion. I forgive my parents for the lack of parental discipline. Forgive me for my own rebellion. I take accountability for my parents' rebellion. And I want to say this. You can forgive your parents, but it's too late for God to forgive the dead forefathers you have. It's too late. You don't say, God, forgive my forefathers, because it's too late. You forgive your forefathers, and that's what God wants you to do, is to forgive. But your dead forefathers are either in heaven or they're in hell. They're not in purgatory. So they're either one of those places. Forgive me for lacking the fear of God. Forgive me for cursing and bitterness. And that's my place again. So, God, forgive me for not having a clear conscience through confessing my sins. Forgive me for the times I've let the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for looking at scary movies, pornography, reading novels and books that are of the occult or fear or pornography. God, forgive me for I break all covenants of death that my forefathers made. Lord, I take accountability for insomnia and fear and perversion that's come down on me generationally. I forgive my parents for not nurturing me and protecting me. I forgive those that have sexually abused me. put me through rituals. And Lord, I want to come under your refuge. I forgive my parents that I had to be the protector. I had to be the mama, the daddy. And Lord, I pray you remind me before I go to sleep of 1 John 1:9. You know, when you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The Bible says that God separates your sin as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers it no more. And we're to overcome the things in our life that displease God. Forgive me for going to bed with fear and anger and unconfessed sin and worry. I forgive my parents for bringing me up in trauma and dysfunction. I choose to let go of my life. Forgive me for addictions to caffeine and drugs that keep me away. And Lord, I pray that when I go to bed at night, if I have a problem going to sleep, that I'll be prepared to stay awake if that's what you want and read the Bible to make it a profitable time. And so, Lord, I just thank you for repentance. I thank you for that you forgive me. And, Lord, I just want to be that person that fears you and turns away from evil so that my sleep will be sweet. And in the name of Jesus, everybody pray for me. Pray with me. I take accountability for whatever happened to me and the loins of my forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. Now I command every demonic spirit of insomnia, all spirits of fear, I pull down, uproot, pluck out every demonic seed. Don't cross anything. Don't cross your fingers, your legs, your hands, because that's a type of resistance. So in the name of Jesus, all spirits of Antichrist has to go. All spirits of unbelief and doubt, lies and lying, deception, you have to go. I declare Satan from this day forward, pray with us, you'll no longer blind my eyes in Jesus' name to the truth that sets me free. In Jesus' name, I come against fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, all spirits that take my eyes off Jesus, I command you to go now in Jesus' name. I break the power of rebellion. I break the power of bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility, self-righteousness, depression, despair, hopelessness in the name of Jesus. I break every vow that I'll stay away. I'll be on guard. I have to protect myself. I break the power of that spirit of self-protection in Jesus' name. Lord, you want us to trust you. All the demons that came in through the sins they've confessed have to go now in Jesus' name. All spirits of unforgiveness and torment has to go. Addictions to sleeping medications leave now. All addictions, I break the yoke of bondage off of each person in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Worthy are you. Worthy are you. Praise the Lord. Lord, I loose on them your peace that passeth all understanding in the name of Jesus. I break the default of being trained up to have no peace. I break that default in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you want to give to your beloved even in my sleep. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and praise God. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worthy are you. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, and all discontentment has to go now in Jesus' name. We break all addictions in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, we just bless you for what you're going to do in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.